From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. He's a fabulous producer, even if we're doing best of segments, helping us out. Mr. Rob Satter on the other side of the glass. We always appreciate his help and hard work. In the studio today, movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, ILC.com, I've been on it 100 times in the past months. He's a staff writer at Ranker. He's a member of the Critics' Choice Association and Online Film Critics Society, prolific tweeter at ILCeat, and the proud recipient of sponsorship from Campus Theater, campustheater.org. Mike, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
You too, buddy. Thank you so much. All right, so here we go. This is probably the most talked about movie in history. Avatar, please.
A lot has changed for the Avatar characters in the sequel, The Way of Water. Sam Worthington is now an Avatar full-time, he's married to Zoe Saldana, and they have kids, including an adoptive Avatar daughter played by Sigourney Weaver. Bad guy Stephen Lang has been cloned as an Avatar, and he wants revenge for having been defeated at the end of the first movie. Worthington and family therefore flee, hiding out with a tribe of reef people who teach them how to survive underwater and communicate with sea creatures. Those skills come in handy when Lang and his troops finally find them, leading to an epic aquatic battle. Avatar: The Way of Water isn't just a Xerox copy of the original. Director James Cameron takes the characters and situations and builds on them. That keeps the story consistently interesting, even at 3 hours and 12 minutes. Visually, the film is even more amazing. Those underwater scenes are breathtaking, and this is a case where 3D is absolutely essential to get the full effect. The action scenes are phenomenal, too, providing all the excitement you'd expect from a James Cameron movie. All the way around, Avatar: The Way of Water is a superior sequel. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 4 unobtainium mines.
Wow. Unobtainium.
Right. That was the substance they were mining for in Pandora in the first movie that created all the drama, the whole thing. It was the MacGuffin, basically.
Wow. Unobtainium. I forgot. Boy, what a reference, I'll tell you. Okay. So, first of all, 3D. It is in 3D.
It is. And you have to see it that way. James Cameron designed it to be seen in 3D. The 3D gives it a special extra layer, especially in those underwater scenes, because you'll see the characters and all of a sudden a school of fish will swim right in front of your face. And it conveys very important depth in the underwater scenes to let you know how close or how far away a threat is from one of the characters. And it's just beautiful to look at. So you absolutely have to see this in 3D unless for some reason you're not able to view films that way.
All right. Yeah, I have some very mild color blindness. I don't see them as vividly as other people, but still better than a normal flat screen. So this is the way to go. Even if you have a 6-foot TV, if you ever go to the theater, this is the reason.
This is the one. See it on the biggest screen possible. See it in 3D. It's an experience. It's not just a movie. James Cameron designed it to be a sensory experience. The sound is phenomenal. The 3D and the visuals are phenomenal. So he really wants you to take advantage of that theatrical experience.
Get your tickets in advance. There's going to be a sellout.
It's doing really well. It had a great opening weekend, and James Cameron's movies tend to have very strong legs, and that's what we've seen. A lot of people were thinking this was going to open to $180 or $200 million last weekend. It did $134 million, which is really good for a movie like this, but James Cameron's films play and play and play, and what we saw this week was that Avatar posted huge numbers on weekdays, and now we're here in this holiday week where every day is like Saturday night at the theaters, and there's no competition, really, for Avatar for over a month. So this movie is going to just clean up, and it's going to play like the original Avatar did and just stick around and stick around and stick around.
I'm a Tuesday afternoon movie goer. Half the time you're in there by yourself, although that probably won't be the case with this particular movie.
Right.
3 hours?
3 hours and 12 minutes, although if you take off the end credits, it's 3 hours. But I got to tell you, this movie did not feel like 3 hours to me. There's so much going on, and there's constantly something happening, and I was not for a second looking at my watch or bored or thinking, when is this over, or squirming in my seat. This is a movie that really earns its length and takes good advantage of it.
Should I see the first one again before I see this?
It probably wouldn't hurt, or you could just read the Wikipedia summary. I've seen the first one a couple times. I read I read the plot summary on Wikipedia just to refresh my memory.
They're wearing some clothing.
They have a little bit of clothing in this one, yeah. When they go and see the reef people, things have kind of changed a little bit.
Okay. Well, geez, that was the best part about the first one, I thought, anyway. Okay. All right. So, and great voiceover. They just really nail all. This is just a perfect movie?
Yeah. I mean, it's a perfect example of what it is, of a big mainstream adventure.
Okay.
I think it works really well that way. I loved it. I felt really excited when I walked out of the theater, that feeling you get when you've seen something that just really gives you that much fun.
It's going to be in the top five for your year. What about your all-time top 20, let's say?
Well, I only saw it a week ago, so it would need years to...
It needs to...
I got a lot of movies on my favorite list.
Okay, I know. That's always the best part of it. Well, that's the best part about aisleseat.com is if you really just want to see one good movie that's going to be memorable, just look at his top 10 list and watch one of them. So that's always sound advice. Okay, so Avatar, The Way of Water.
Four unobtainium minds.
Unobtainiums. I'm surprised that didn't stick with me a little better. Okay, mini-review, Babylon. Wouldn't say I've heard too much about that.
Speaking of three-hour movies that didn't feel like 3 hours to me, this one is actually 3 hours and 9 minutes. This is the new film from Damien Chazelle, the director of La La Land and Whiplash, and it's the tale of old Hollywood debauchery. It stars Brad Pitt as a silent movie star who's an alcoholic, and he's trying to make the jump into talkies.
Didn't we just see this a couple years ago?
There's been other movies made about that time period, yeah. Margot Robbie co-stars as an aspiring actress who lands a lucky break and becomes a big star. And the movie is about the ups and downs of these characters and a couple other ones. And what's interesting about it is that the whole point of the movie is to show that the early days of Hollywood were a period of just total excess. There were drugs and drinking and sex everywhere and all these wild things happening because everybody was suddenly wealthy beyond their wildest dreams from this new medium. And the movie is kind of structured as a rise and fall. The first half is very exhilarating as you see all of this stuff taking place, and the movie depicts it very graphically. It's a hard R film. And then the second hour gets into the downfall, what happens to these characters after those excesses become too much. So the first half is like a really raucous, funny comedy, and then the second half is a really affecting drama. This will not be for everybody. Like I said, it's very R-rated. It's very explicit. It has to be to show all that, and it's also structured in an intentionally crazy way to capture the feel of that. But I was absolutely riveted. I think Margot Robbie deserves an Oscar nomination, if not the Oscar, for her work in this. So for me, 4 stars for Babylon. It's on my list of the 10 best films of the year, which I haven't published yet. Some people will hate it, but I think people who love it are going to be like me, and they're just going to be over the moon about it.
All right, we'll be live here next Friday, so we'll get the top 10 list then.
I'm on vacation next week, so I'll have that for you in 2 weeks.
Every day's holiday for Movie Mike, but that's another topic. Okay, so we'll get the recorded version of the top 10 list. You're not bound, when you send me that recording, you're not bound by the 1 minute. You can go as long or as short as you want, you know, so we'll get your full report. I'd love to hear the whole list. Okay, so that's Babylon 4, and that's at theaters?
That's in theaters, yes.
Okay. Want to Dance with Me?
I Want to Dance with Somebody.
I Want to Dance with Somebody, mm-hmm. Okay.
This is a Whitney Houston biopic, and what the movie gets right is it casts a relatively new actress named Naomi Ackie as Whitney Houston. She is phenomenal, kind of looks like her, but more importantly, really captures Whitney Houston's essence, her way of talking, her mannerisms that we all know. She is so good in this movie, but unfortunately, the rest of the film is a real disappointment. This is a movie that is more or less just a Wikipedia-style recitation of notable events from Whitney Houston's life. Making The Bodyguard, singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl, marrying Bobby Brown, getting into drugs. And the film has no real perspective on her life or her career or her relationship with her mentor, Clive Davis, who's very effectively played by Stanley Tucci. That's kind of perfect casting. But I was really disappointed in this movie. It's not one of the better biopics that we've seen because it just kind of rushes through all of these things that every Whitney Houston fan already knows. and they don't have any perspective on it, anything new to add, no depth, no analysis of anything. So I did like Naomi Ackie's performance. I think the musical performances are very well directed and have some energy. It's a watchable film, but it's just not a great biopic. So 2.5 stars for I Want to Dance with Somebody. Not a great film.
Okay, and that's in...
Also in theaters.
Theaters, okay. And Glass Onion, where do we see that?
Debuts today on Netflix. This is the sequel to Knives Out, the big hit from a few years ago with Daniel Craig as Master Detective Benoit Blanc. This time, he's on a private Greek island owned by a tech billionaire, played by Edward Norton, who has assembled a bunch of his friends for what's supposed to be a murder mystery party where he's going to be, quote-unquote, murdered, and they have the weekend to figure it out. Somebody else is murdered for real. Benoit Blanc has to jump into action. And what's fun about this movie is that director Rian Johnson goes a slightly different way. It's more over the top than Knives Out was, but it's just as satisfying. So you get that same thing of quirky characters and offbeat humor, but then they kind of spin it off into its own thing. So even if you didn't see Knives Out, doesn't matter. You can still watch Glass Onion. It's very funny. The resolution of the mystery is great. And Janelle Monáe, here again, somebody who deserves awards consideration. She has a role as Edward Norton's disgruntled former business partner, and she is fantastic. So 3.5 stars for Glass Onion, debuts today on Netflix. If you like Knives Out, you should definitely put this one on your weekend viewing list.
All right. That's just on Netflix, of course, if it's one of their films. Fabulous. Okay, so let's talk about the box office. You mentioned before we started chit-chatting that this is a busy, busy time and a sort of a money make or break opportunity at the box office.
Yeah, this is really the biggest movie going week of the year. People are on vacation. They want to go to the movies. Lots of big titles are hitting theaters and some small titles. There's some really interesting art house films opening this weekend, too, that aren't playing locally yet, but they'll be coming as we get closer to award season. So it's a time for the box office to really rebound, and hopefully that's what's going to happen. We know theaters have struggled after COVID. Now with Avatar and some of these other big movies in theaters, hopefully theaters are going to be packed and sold out and selling lots of concessions here over the next 8 or 10 days, and it should be a really profitable time for them.
Okay, so this is Black Weeks for them, not Black Friday, but Black
right.
Weeks for them. Well, thank you so much, Movie Mike. We love you and your family. We're just glad you're well again, and everybody's doing okay. So thank you so much for all you do during the year.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Enjoy your holidays. Movie Mike McGranahan, aisleseat.com is his website. Do as I do. Check it out before you watch a movie.